I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com.
Hello, my name is Thomas Nygren. I write for lfcsv.se, a page about Liverpool from Sweden.
Hi, I'm Dan, Arsenal fan. You can get me on Twitter at @_jersey_fits.
All right, thanks guys so much for joining us today. A thing that we won't be leading off with is any Jose Mourinho news, because everybody said he was going to be sacked regardless of result, and then they pulled off a really surprising come-from-behind win. And so we don't know what's happening with that yet, but we'll be sure to discuss it when we do have more information. Instead, let's talk about Chelsea today, who picked up another win. A few weeks ago, we discussed whether or not, you know, they could be dark horse title contenders, and it was kind of shrugged off by the guests on the day. Currently, at the end of proceedings here, for this match week, they're currently level on points with both City and Liverpool. So now we'll just kind of pose it back to you guys again. Do you think this Chelsea team can contend for the title?
Well, I didn't think they would be a real threat this season. But with this start, you have to consider them contenders, because Sarri has changed the way they play, and the players have adapted very quickly. Usually it takes some time before a new coach gets the results he wants, but Sarri has gotten the wins from the start, and that is very impressive. And you look at players like Ross Barkley and Luis, who I thought would be on their way out. They look like they are enjoying to get another chance at Chelsea. And I think that is much up to Sarri. Jorginho has settled in great. Kovacic looks like a real class act. And one thing that makes it even more impressive is that Sarri signed quite late in the summer and didn't have the time to work on everything during the preseason. So I'm a bit afraid that they will get even better during the season. And he still hasn't signed many players, so maybe we'll see a few signings in January. But the main thing about this team is, of course, Eden Hazard. Luis Suarez almost won us the titles a few years ago. And if Hazard keeps playing that like he does now, maybe he can do the same thing with Chelsea. I think they are a striker short of being more than an outsider, but they look a lot stronger than I thought when the season started. And if they sign the right player in January, maybe they can be a real threat in the when we come to the end of the season, because they don't play Champions League, and maybe they can rest a few players in the Europa League. So I'm a bit more afraid of Chelsea than I was maybe a month ago.
I would say in another year, I'd consider them title contenders. I just don't think they're as good as City and Liverpool, because they're just ridiculous. So I'd consider them very good, but I still don't think they have enough. As far as Hazard, he's started fantastically, but his underlying numbers have been basically the same as him other seasons. He's just been finishing really well. Obviously, if he keeps that up through a whole season, then good for him, but that usually doesn't happen. So I would expect his goals to fall off a bit. Not that he's not still probably the best player in the Premier League, but like they have been heavily relying on his goals. If they stop, then they could be in trouble, like Thomas said. No one knows why, or like Morata is Morata. I love Olivier Giroud with all my heart, but he has yet to score a goal. I don't think he's scored a competitive goal outside of like the Nations Cup, which I'm not counting, get over it, since April, I think. So that's problematic. Willian and Pedro are good, but I wouldn't really think of them as big goal scorers. So and none of their midfielders I would consider goal scorers either. If Hazard can keep this up, then good for him. But maybe Chelsea will compete. Even then, I'm not sure they'll win. Even then, I think it would be more maybe they'll compete. But I would be surprised if they were to actually win the title. I think they're really good, but Chelsea and City, I'm not Chelsea, Liverpool and City are just stupid.
Yeah, Liverpool and City, obviously very good, and the teams that people picked from the beginning. And I do agree to an extent that Giroud and Morata are probably not the strike force that'll be able to take the title to Chelsea this season. But Thomas brought up something that I was very much thinking, which was if they can address striker in January, which is notoriously hard to do, they could legitimately be contenders because, or even favorites does seem hard to get to. But that midfield, which I very heavily criticized in the offseason for making no sense as to why they just kept piling on midfielders, getting that blend of Barkley, Jorginho, and Conte, it feels like they're starting to get there, obviously Kovacic being involved as well. That is a very, very good midfield. And the scariest thing to me thus far is something that somebody already mentioned, which was Sarri has not been there this long. It's one of the reasons why early on, like week four, like I just mentioned, I asked if they were title contenders, is because they were already playing well and picking up wins when they still clearly didn't understand the system. And as they continue to grow into that, I think they'll continue to get better. I do think at some point Hazard will drop form a little bit. And then the question is if the strike force can provide those goals, as Dan, as you were pointing out, the midfield doesn't seem like they'll provide a whole lot of goals, save for that one Willian year. And I think Pedro had a year where he had like 8 or 9, but yeah, the question is who's going to carry that goal scoring. But Arrizabalaga has looked far better than I thought he would. The defense is impressed. You mentioned David Luiz working his way back into the side. They've looked good. The midfield's looked good. Obviously, Hazard having an incredible start to the season. The big question, as everybody knows, is forward and where the goals will come from for the rest of the season. All right, from Hazard to a player last year that launched Liverpool into the title contention race, Mohamed Salah. Obviously is a fantastic player. Nobody's doubting that, but he has not really had the jump to the season that a lot of people may have thought that he would. At current time, he scored just one goal in the last 5 matches, no assists in the Premier League. It's worth noting. Curious to get your guys' thoughts. Do you think he's just the opposite of Hazard, just hit a bad stretch here at the start of the year, or do you think maybe last year was a little bit of an outlier?
Well, he hasn't started this season as well as he played last season, but you can't expect a player to score the same amount of goals as he did every season. He looks like he lacks a bit of self-confidence because he's had a few chances close to the goal where he tries to get a better angle all the time. Last season he just shot and scored. You could see that when we played against City today. He had a chance in the second half where he just hit the ball out in the stand instead of taking his time and making a better chance out of it. I think he will start scoring when we play, when we have a bit worse opponents. I think we play Huddersfield after the internationals, and that is a game where we hopefully will see him start to score again, because none of the top three at our attack has been up to their best. Firmino looks a bit tired, and Mané. He's not in the penalty area as often as I would like him to be. So I think it's much up to the other two as well, because Salah is the one who's getting the most chances out of them. And hopefully we will see them work together in a better way when they're back after the internationals, because now they look a bit tired and Salah lacks a bit of self-confidence. But he is a great striker and he would start to score again, but not as many goals as last season.
Yeah, I'm kind of, like you said, the opposite of Hazard. I think he's fine. He's just hit a bit of a rough patch. I think last season he did overperform, but his normal numbers were still incredible. And this year he has one, I'm going to double check, I'm pretty sure relatively similar numbers, and he's just not finishing as well as he did last year. He should be fine. He'll hit form eventually and start finishing at like at least a normal rate, if not an above average rate at some point. So I wouldn't be worried.
Yeah, I mean, he was very good last year, and he's been very good this year. The difference is just the finishing, which was pretty absurd last season. And I think regression was always going to come. But regardless of whether or not he does get back to those scoring numbers, the fact that he is still contributing in attack, even though he is more wasteful with his chances this season, is still massively important to how Liverpool play. So, yeah, I think it's an unfortunate that he's not gotten off to an incredibly hot start, but he is still an important part of that attack and has done so thus far. I think he's still like top five in touches in the box and shots. So he's still
According to Understat, his expected goals and expected assists per 90 are essentially the same as they were last season.
Interesting. And it is worth noting that he outperformed his expected goals.
Yeah, he outperformed by about 7 goals and 2 assists last season. And this season, he's so far has underperformed by about 3 goals.
Yeah, so so we're just thinking it'll all shake out.
It's just a rough patch. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Come the end of the season. All right. We meant to have Jake on to talk a little bit about that Newcastle United match, but failing that, we are left with representatives of clubs who are all currently playing in Europe. Just curious to get your guys' takes on how the kind of dual campaigns of both Champions League or Europa League are affecting your league campaigns.
Well, we've had some very difficult fixtures in the last month, both in the league and in Europe. And many players start to look a bit tired. The results in the league has been good, but we haven't played well since the week when we played both Spurs and PSG. And I'm a bit surprised that Klopp hasn't used more players during these games. Apart from Southampton in the league and Chelsea in the League Cup, we've used almost the same players. And in the past two games, we haven't had the same energy as we usually have. We're in a good seat both in the league and Champions League, so you can't really complain on the results, but we need to get going again after the internationals because we now have 4 games without a win and we have only scored once in the past 3 games, and that was a screamer from Daniel Sturridge. So there are some worrying signs up front, and it's also a bit worrying that Keita and Fabinho hasn't played more. They signed early and was around the team during the whole preseason. They should be ready now, and we still have only seen Fabinho start once. I didn't expect to see the best of him until Christmas, but I thought that he would play a bit more early on. And when it comes to Keita, I thought that he would impress from the start, but he hasn't. And he wasn't very good today either. And we saw today that James Milner were injured early, and that might be because of the tough schedule. And if his injury is serious, it will surely affect our league play during October. But we played Spurs away, Chelsea away, and City at home in the league during the start of Champions League when we played PSG and Napoli. And we've gotten 5 points out of those 3 games. So you can't say that it is very bad.
Yeah, our European campaign is Europa League, so it's not as difficult. We've won both our games after Europa League games. Vorskla we played at home 1-4-2, then on the Sunday, I guess. Okay, this is saying, well, oh, the next game we played was Newcastle. Newcastle are bad. They're really bad. So that game, we didn't even play that well, but we won because they did nothing in attack, and we were able to score. And that was pretty much it. This week we played away to who was it? FC Karabag, and we won pretty comfortably. I disagreed with how many of the first team players Unai Emery brought because it's a 10-hour flight, and we had a game on the Sunday, obviously. Ozil went and missed with back spasms today, so, and he has had a bad back. I don't think flying 10 hours helped that. Whether that was the cause, we don't know. But so I disagreed with that bit of management, but it all worked out fine. We won 5-1, played, I would consider, probably our best performance of the season, which isn't saying much, but it's something. So yeah, so far it hasn't been too bad. We'll see how that goes on from the future.
Yeah, interestingly for Tottenham, it's basically the inverse of last season, where last season we got off to a hot start in the Champions League and kind of struggled in the Premier League, and then this year it's the opposite of that. The performances have not actually been that good in the Premier League thus far, but we've actually just leveled our best Premier League start ever with 18 points through 8 matches. So that's a bit of a surprise. Kind of like Dan was saying, usually the best metric of this is how you perform either side of your Champions League matches, and Tottenham have won 3 of those 4, admittedly against Cardiff, Huddersfield, and Brighton. the loss was to Liverpool right before the Inter Milan match. But where you've really seen the impact of this busy schedule has been on squad fitness. We all knew coming into the season Tottenham were going to have to be very careful to avoid a major injury crisis, considering the fact that they didn't sign any players in the summer, and we're just going to have to roll into the season with everyone from last year who basically all made the semifinals of the World Cup. And that has become a very big problem. Eriksen, Dele Alli, Vertonghen, I'm sure I'm missing some, Dembele. There's a lot of injuries at the moment. Lamella pulled up with cramps after the Barcelona match, but then he was involved at the weekend. But it'll be interesting to see how we get out of this, because we're going to have to keep playing those matches. And I do not think we are capable of competing heavily in both competitions this season, just because of the quality of the squad and the depth of it. We tend to have two decent players at each position, which usually is enough, but for some reason our kind of secondary options tend to not click with our first team, and so that's going to be a concern. Lamella, obviously the one big exception that tends to put in a performance anytime he's involved, just has a ridiculous like goals per appearance rate for us right now. So yeah, that's how European football is affecting each of us. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more club specific questions for each of our guests.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, and we are back. We will start with Liverpool questions for our dear friend Thomas. Thomas, we talked a little bit in the pre-show about the pressing at Liverpool. It was a very big thing that was often discussed in the media and within the fan base, the gegenpressing and everything. It's been a little bit less applied at times this season, although we did see it at the start of the match today. Do you think this is a long-term tactical shift or maybe a seasonal thing? Just curious to get your take on something that was such a staple of your year last year, not being so much of one this one.
Yeah, we could see a big change from last season, because when we played City today, we started to press in the first 15 minutes, but after that, we almost like we played a bit more laid back, and we didn't want to press in the same way as at the start of the game. And it was the same way when we played Napoli in the midweek. So I'm not sure why we've changed this, because you can see that the top three players, when we have Mané, Firmino and Salah, they don't create the same amount of chances as they did last season. And many of the chances that we created were from the way we pressed. But perhaps it's Klopp's way to give us a bit more of a tight defense, because we've been defending a lot better this season, and we have a midfield who starts a bit further down the pitch than last season. So maybe it's we have only I think we've conceded 3 goals in 8 games so far, and that is a good sign when it comes to our defense. And maybe that is because that we don't press in the same way as we did last season, because we scored maybe 4 or 5 goals many games last season, but we also conceded 2 or 3 goals in these games. So maybe it's a bit, I think it's a bit more tight team this season. It's not as fun to watch as last season, but we score enough goals to win most of the games, and we're at the top of the league together with 2 other teams. So we can't complain with the change that Klopp has made, but maybe we need to start pressing a bit more, especially when we play the better teams, because it was the same way against Chelsea. We didn't create as much chances as we did last season. And I think that we need to start using the way we press against the best teams in the league as well, and to get the chance to score, because a draw is it's a decent result. But if you want to win the league, you need to win the games against teams like Manchester City and Chelsea.
Yeah, the other question I wanted to ask you was about Dejan Lovren, who obviously took part in today's match. It seemed like everybody had been very excited about Joe Gomez coming through, much like Alexander Arnold did last year. Obviously, Lovren has been a scapegoat at times at Liverpool. How do you see him fitting into the squad throughout the rest of the year?
Well, there wasn't many happy faces when we among the supporters when we saw that Dejan Lovren was starting this game. But I think that we will need him this season. Gomez and Van Dijk can't play every game, and today we used Joe Gomez as a right at the right back, so we can rest Trent Alexander-Arnold a bit. He has looked a bit tired at the start of the season and was really bad against Napoli. So I guess that was the reason that Joe Gomez played at the right today. Dejan Lovren is a good defender, but you can't really trust him. Today he could have created two penalties for Manchester City if he would have been unlucky. So it was almost a bit funny that it was Van Dijk who created a penalty, because he's the guy that we rely on, so that we can have Lovren next to him who maybe make a few mistakes. I think that we will see Lovren come in a few games when we need to rest Alexander-Arnold or Joe Gomez, because I trust him a bit more than Matip, and he has done many good games next to Van Dijk. So I think that maybe we'll see him start 10 to 15 games this season and then come on as a sub, if we don't get any injuries, of course. Joe Gomez is a bit injury prone, so if he goes out for a month or two, then Dejan Lovren is a decent backup. But in the long run, I don't think we will see Dejan Lovren stay in Liverpool, because he doesn't have many supporters among the fan base, and if he's not a starter, then he's in the wrong age to sit on the bench. And he did a good World Cup, so maybe he will have a few interesting clubs come next summer. So both Matip and Lovren are good backups, but if Joe Gomez keeps on playing the way that he started this season, I can't see none of them start in the bigger games, because Van Dijk and Joe Gomez are two defenders for the future in Liverpool, and I don't think that Dejan Lovren has a way back as a starting player in the bigger games. I didn't think that he would start today, but he had a decent game, especially in the second half. He was quite good, but you can't really trust him, because he's a bit too aggressive in the penalty area, and you're always scared to get a penalty against yourself when Dejan Lovren starts. So I think that like I said, 10 or 15 games maybe, and maybe in the Champions League, in the FA Cup, but in the league, Joe Gomez and Van Dijk will be our starting pair in the middle.
Gotcha. All right, now talking Arsenal with Dan. If you play good strikers in their position, it turns out that they score goals. Obviously, Aubameyang
really?
And Lacazette. Yeah, it turns out. Aubameyang and Lacazette combined to score 4 goals for you on the day. Do you think this is kind of a breakthrough for Emery at this point?
I would love it to be. I don't know. It will be. Obviously, you have to wait and see more games. And like Aubameyang didn't start up top of Lacazette, so seeing that would be nice, to say the least. Seeing that would give me a lot more confidence that he'll do it regularly. We came out, usually we play a 4-2-3-1. Today we played more of a 4-2-2-2. With Mkhitaryan and Iwobi kind of like wide midfielders, with Welbeck and Lacazette up top, and it worked pretty well. Iwobi is actually someone who has been great this season. I'll probably talk more about that later, but he played really well. Lacazette has been Lacazette. He doesn't take that many shots, but he is a very good finisher. And he's been finishing, quite frankly. And his overall play is pretty decent as well. Where Aubameyang is very much a poacher, Lacazette is much more of an all-round player, which may be why Emery seemed to prefer him up top. Whereas I'd prefer them switch if we're going to play one wide, but that's definitely very clearly not going to happen. But yeah, I'm not sure if we will continue with the two up top. But I think it's something that could work, considering I've been asking. We didn't play a diamond today, but I've been asking for a diamond for pretty much since we signed Aubameyang. So, please.
We talked at the start of the season about whether or not you were concerned with Emery or his tactics, like we talked about, not really implementing players in their best positions at all times. But now he's won 9 consecutive matches with you at Arsenal. So just curious to hear what your take on his management style has been, and what do you think the upper limit of your season's expectations would be?
I'm not sure we've seen that much management. I think Emery's thing is kind of his flexibility. It's harder to tell what he's doing because he's not like Sarri or Klopp or Guardiola, where you know they have that set style of play that they will absolutely do no matter what happens. It's really easy to, and especially if Chelsea's case, like Sarri went from Conte to Sarri. It's very clear you can see those changes. Emery hasn't been a massive change from Wenger. There have been some. Well, you can kind of tell we're doing a few things different, but not much. It's not hugely different. We're clearly a bit more. We think a bit more about defense, I guess. That's a really bad take, but it's true. We've been a bit more defensive. We actually pressed less. So that's a thing, which was not really expected, but it's a thing. We've been fine. Our underlying numbers are actually very not fine. They're quite bad. I'm not really not loving that. We're going to need to play much better if we're going to stay around the top four race. I think currently we have a negative expected goal difference, but to not be positive and be competing for the top four is bad. So we were pretty decent today. XG didn't show up, but I think this is one of those games where single game XG isn't great. But prior to today, we literally had not played a good first half all season. This first half was fine. The second we pulled away, but we really haven't been good. We've won 9 straight, but this is the first time I've been like happy at the performance. And if we continue to play the same way, we will fall off. So hopefully we don't, and hopefully Emery can improve the performances of the team. And then I think I'll have a better take, because it's weird being all like, no, we're so bad despite winning 9 straight. But
it certainly is. But I guess what you're saying is,
I feel bad, but like our performances have not been good, while our results may have been good. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of reasons to think that if performances don't improve, then results will fall off a horrible, terrible, no good cliff.
Gotcha. So basically the theme of this show is football tends to return to the mean. For Tottenham, the big news potentially this week is that things are starting to happen with the stadium. The pitch was finally laid. A couple of matches that were officially listed as unknown for their location have now been listed as Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is the very creative name for the new stadium, pending sponsorship and everything like that. And I just kind of wanted to mention that back when everybody was thinking that Tottenham fans were being conspiracy theorists for thinking that the construction was always delayed, and that it was never going to make its target date. Just a quick question on how it took until October for the pitch to be laid into the stadium. Like, if the issues were the electrical safety systems, did the safety systems prevent grass existing inside an open building? I'm just very, very confused by that. And it has kind of been nightmarish. The fact that we've been able to perform as well as we have, despite the fact we've played in, I think, 3 home stadiums already this season, it is not super great. Wait, that's not right, 2, because it's been Wembley 2. And yeah. The Amex. But it's just been a mess. This season was supposed to be so promising and exciting. We kind of expected new signings in the summer. Well, we aren't getting new signings. Well, at least we'll have the new stadium. No, wait, we don't have the stadium. So it's kind of been blow after blow in that regard. But with recent results, the Barcelona match played well in despite losing. With kind of these stadium developments seemingly happening, they're going to put the cockerel at the top of the stand, the single tier stand. It's the Dortmund-esque style, as everybody keeps referring to it. It seems like things are starting to turn around. If any of these players of ours can get fit over the international break, we could really start to see Tottenham push well through the fall, which is really as far as Tottenham need to make it, because they are notoriously fantastic throughout that winter congested fixture schedule period, knocking on all the things in case people heard that in the background noise. But anyway, it's kind of been dark-ish, things surrounding the club, but the results have gotten better, and it seems like those ancillary things are improving as well. So hopefully brighter days ahead. And it's worth noting, not just Tottenham, but I feel like it's six teams are within a win of first place right now. Yeah. Well, no, because Bournemouth would have to give a win and a draw, but five. And the fact that that's the case is pretty impressive, considering how everybody thought City and Liverpool were just going to pull away with this. And then you get a result like today where City and Liverpool draw that probably benefits, well, obviously benefits that mathematically, just the fact that everybody is so close. But specifically for Tottenham, the fact that we're in fifth, 18 points, like I said, tied best start in the Premier League history at the club. And yeah, a win away from first place if crazy things happen. But just being up there with as much bad news as this season has started with is impressive enough. And if we can capitalize on that in the coming months, that would be certainly fantastic and uplifting for a fan base that has been fairly disappointed throughout the start of this season. All right, now we will head into Player Watch. We're going to talk about league leaders, specifically in goals and assists. Who are they currently at your club, and do you think that they'll be the ones leading the club in those statistics come the end of the season?
At Liverpool, I think it's Sadio Mane, who scored four goals, and Roberto Firmino has two goals and two assists, who is the team leaders now. But in the end, I'm quite sure it will be Mohamed Salah who leads our team, because he's our most dangerous player going forward. He's our best goal scorer. And he, at least last season, he had a few assists as well. So at the end of the season, I think it will be Mohamed Salah who is our team leader. But both Firmino and Mane are good attackers. Mane will hopefully score more goals than last season. Firmino will hopefully score more goals than last season. So I think they will be a bit closer to Salah this season, because he won't score as many goals as he did in his first year at Liverpool. So I think it would be a closer call between those three this year. But in the end, I would be surprised if it wasn't Mohamed Salah who was our team leader, if we don't get 15 penalties and James Milner score every one of them, because he will have a few assists as well. Maybe Daniel Sturridge is an outsider if we have a few injuries up front, because he started to score goals and looks very good when he plays, apart from the open goal he missed against Chelsea in the League Cup. So without any injuries, I'm quite sure that it will be Mohamed Salah with Firmino and Mane close to him. But if one of them gets injured and Daniel Sturridge gets a run of games, he will score many goals, especially against the team at the bottom of the table. So he's an outsider, but my bet would be on Mohamed Salah.
For us, for goals, Lacazette and Aubameyang are tied, shocker, at four, and Ramsey actually leads in assists, which is funny, despite only playing, he's played 500 minutes, but it's not that low, but for whoever starts at striker, I would expect to lead the team in goals by the end of the season, and if they both start, Aubameyang, because he's better. But there's some ifs in there, because we don't know. We have no idea how the team is going to line up for us this season. So, I'm good. It's whoever starts a striker. If they both do, I'll go with Aubameyang. For assists, I don't think safe money is just to say Mesut Ozil, just because he's Mesut Ozil. If he plays in the wing, though, maybe not. A lot of this is really all, I don't know where anyone's going to play, so I can't give a solid answer. But since I can't give a solid answer, safe money is probably on Ozil.
Yeah, at Tottenham, one guess on who leads them in goals in the Premier League right now. It is
Michel
obvious. Near middle. It is currently, of course, Harry Kane with five goals. I think a couple of those are penalties already, which certainly won't help the weird penalty merchant shouts on Twitter randomly. But he has kind of been the embodiment of those early season struggles I've mentioned, where we really haven't looked that great, but we've still gotten the results. Similarly, Harry Kane has not looked fantastic, save for about three matches this year, but he's still getting results. He's still getting on the score sheet, as he did against Barcelona, and then the week before in that Brighton match where he scored a brace. No such luck this particular week, but it would take some particular doing for it to not be Harry Kane to lead the club in goals by the end of the season. The only person I think that could ever get close really would be, I was going to say Eriksen, but I just remember Dele Alli had like 17 goals in that debut season. I don't think anybody's going to be able to catch up with Kane, even if he is struggling with injury or fitness or whatever. I think It would be very surprising if anybody finished higher than Kane in goals at the club. And then the real question is, where will Kane finish in the league table come the end of the year? Will he be able to secure another golden boot, or will somebody like Hazard be able to sneak in and take it again this season? I say again, not because Hazard did it, because Salah did it last year. I'm not suffering from some weird form of amnesia. In assists, it's always a little interesting because different places count assists differently. Obviously, fantasy assists are can be won via own goal deflections or penalties won. We'll stick with non-fantasy statistics here, which means that Christian Eriksen and Kieran Trippier are tied with two apiece. And I think that that will be the battle this year. No combination of players have combined for more goals in the last few years since Trippier and Kane, who have just had a ridiculous relationship. Eriksen obviously creates the chances for everybody else. So it'll be a really interesting internal squad battle to see which of those can end up as the assist king this season. I think it's more likely for Eriksen just because he's obviously more involved in and play more often. But Trippier's success rate off of his crosses is very, very impressive, and he's continued that form from the World Cup. So don't count him out just yet, but pretty unsurprising stuff here, saying Kane will probably lead Tottenham in goals and Eriksen will probably lead them in assists. All right, here we usually discuss match previews, but since we don't have any of those, we'll wrap up with a kind of breakdown of our summer signings. And by our, I of course mean yours. Tottenham did not sign anyone. We'll lead in with you, Thomas, regarding Liverpool, because there was a lot of excitement surrounding Keita, who you did technically sign a year ago. and then obviously Fabinho had a lot of hype around him as well. But neither of them have really been involved as much in these early stages. What have you made them as signings thus far?
Well, if you look at the signings we made during the summer, it's Alisson Becker who has been the biggest part of the team so far. And he's, of course, a big upgrade from both Minoli and Karius. He's a great goalkeeper. He's got a great with both his feet and his hands. And apart from the time that he tried to dribble past Iheanacho against Leicester, he's looked really comfortable at the back end. I think that Klopp talked a bit with him after that game because now we play a lot more, a lot easier game from the back end. And he has made us a lot better at the back end. I'm very happy with that signing. But then if you look at the bench today, we had Fabinho, who hasn't started the league game this far. He played against Chelsea in the League Cup. He had a decent game, but looked a bit slow and had problems against the Chelsea attackers. And Keita was at the bench as well. He played against Napoli in the midweek, but was injured early on. And his first 15 minutes against Napoli was terrible. He takes a lot of chances as a midfielder, and he loses the ball in the wrong areas. So he needs to be a bit smarter if he wants to play at our midfield, because when you play with three midfielders, you need to be smart. You need to be in the right areas, and you need to move the ball in the right direction and not try to do something too hard when you have it. So both Fabinho and Keita needs to be better in the next part of the season. I think they will. Keita is a great player, but he just needs to be comfortable playing for Liverpool, and the same with Fabinho. Hopefully, we'll see more of them in December when the schedule is tighter. And Shaqiri, he was signed as a player to use in the games where our top three doesn't play. And he started against Southampton, was very good. He won the game for us, and he played good against Chelsea in the League Cup. So when he plays, he's good. He works very hard, and I think he will be a great use for us in the next part of the season. But I was hoping to see more from both Fabinho and Keita, because you can't pay that amount of money for a player as you did with Fabinho and just have him on the bench watching for 10, 15 games. He needs to be in the starting 11 soon. And when we play Huddersfield after the break, I hope we will see him, since both Milner and Wijnaldum start to look a bit tired. Now we have Milner injured. So we need to use the player that we signed during the summer if we don't want to get more injuries or lose more points.
Yeah, our signings have gone surprisingly well. No one really, well, not no one. I did not expect, many people I know did not expect all of them to work out. Lichtsteiner's barely played, but when he's played, he's been fine. He's only meant to give Bellerin rest anyway. Bert Lano has not played that much, but he's been pretty decent. He had one kind of soft goal against Forsskola, but for the most part, he's been pretty good. We'll see if that continues. He hasn't played that much, but if he does continue to be good, that would be huge, because especially considering how long it took him to displace Czech, we were all very worried that was $20 million thrown directly down the drain, pounds even. Papadopoulos is probably, Socrates Papadopoulos, has been probably our best defender this season. He's been, seemed to have recaptured the form he had 2 years ago as opposed to last season when he was apparently not very good. He's been great. Torreira has been fantastic. I want him starting every game he's fit for. He's been so good at winning the ball and just keeping play moving. He's very quick. Like, he just, he operates very quick. Like, he passes very quickly. Everything's very one touch. Doesn't sit on the ball a lot. He's been very, very good for us. Then we have Guendouzi, who was the flavor of the month for August. He hasn't played as much recently because he's not as good as Torreira or Xhaka, which is fine. He's 19. So yeah, we'll see how he progresses. He's probably more of a one for the future at this point, which is fine. He's 19. But yeah, considering many people I know and myself were expecting at least two of those to go bad, started pretty well. We'll see if it continues, but started pretty well.
All right, that will do it for us today then. Guys, if you'd like to tell the folks where they can find you, now would be a great time.
Thank you for listening. My name is Thomas Nygren. You can find me on Twitter at Thomas Nygren. I also write about Liverpool for lfcsv.se. And I am a regular at the Total Liverpool podcast. We're recording a new show this week, next coming weekend. And we're doing a special for the game against Arsenal where we have a guest. It's Rami Shaban, the former Arsenal goalkeeper, who is visiting our podcast to talk about his time at Arsenal. It's in Swedish, but if any of you out there understand Swedish or want to learn Swedish, our podcast is a good listen.
And if you know how to say, or if you could tell me how to say, you guys are going to kill us in Swedish, I'll say that. But I'm Dan. You can catch me on Twitter at @_jersey_fits for Arsenal content and dog photos whenever we concede, which if we return to the mean will be a lot. So look out for that. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroff. For some reason, you can also find my articles over on ESPN.com/fantasy, my most recent one regarding the fantasy values of all of the Manchester United players. So if you're interested in that, check that out. I also still do some fantasy content over at goal.com as well, and on this very channel with the FPL Roundtable, and also check out the Championship Roundtable while you're here, if you don't mind. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. It was a pleasure as always, and at home, we hope you keep listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.